At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
All right, boys and girls, welcome back to another episode of In the Jar 28 here this week. We're going to talk about NFL training camp. We're going to talk about the five quarterbacks that are under the most pressure going into this football season. Some thoughts about NCAA 25 as we get into the second week, I believe, of the video game being out. A couple of philosophy deals at the end of the program, and Jim Harbaugh with a really weird but cool quote going into this week. All that on this episode. Hit the subscribe button. It helps the show tremendously. Leave us a comment. Let us know what you think. Maybe some ideas for the show going into this football season as it's right around the corner. We're fired up to share another episode with y'all this week. In the Jar, episode 28. Here we go. Let's get into it. Light it up, take it back. Oh no, I don't know, baby. I don't know the words, but I like that rock and roll. Drank a little drink, smoked a little smoke. Damn, boy. I was listening to that old Eric Church on the way back here, baby. And I don't know if Eric Church is dropped anything recently. I don't think he has. I feel like I would have heard about it, but I could be wrong. A little Limp Bizkit when I woke up this morning. Break Stuff. Can't go wrong with a little Rage track to start your day. Hone that anger a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Turn it into something productive. Woke up, spun a record after I got in the cold plunge. Got some administrative work done. You know, we running our own business out here. So we got to damn wake up, send emails, talk to the damn registration office. You know what I'm saying? I've been going to some damn networking events. And in the past, I might have rather committed, but it's been going well, man. Showing up, you know, anything like that where it's not certain and you're pulling into the parking lot, you don't really know who's going to be there, how they're going to treat you, and you just go in and kind of let it rip, do the deal, talk to folks. And you kind of get in the zone and all that kind of fear and uncertainty goes away. But, you know, a lot of folks, you go into something like that. I went into one Tuesday morning and, they're all different too. The structure of these events that, at least in Phoenix, that people put on, got to be that different everywhere you go. But there was this, it was this event at a co-working center. I go in there, lady walks me in. Of course, I'm a little late, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. I had to go to the bathroom. And there's a microphone just like this one on a mic stand. I thought it was stand-up comedy for a second. And there's two TVs on the wall. One of them is on the microphone. And the other one is people on Zoom. And it was, it had a, the guy running the whole organization was emceeing it. And he was real animated. And, you know, Kimberly. and you just get 60 seconds to talk about what you do. It was a lot of inventors, a lot of AI people. I was waiting on a crypto bro, and one finally went up there late in the bell. I can't imagine the Vegas betting odds for that in real time. And I was kind of thinking, because it was all like members of the organization, and I just found that shit on a damn event app. Meetup is the app. I just found it on Meetup and showed up, filled out a little card. It said guest of. I had to write myself because I ain't know a soul there. And the more members I went up and talked, the more I was kind of thinking, you know, and this is a lot of inventors, people trying to get other people to invest in their business. Great opportunity nonetheless, but it was kind of getting into the waning minutes of the event, at least that part of it. And I was like, damn, I don't know if I'm going to speak. I didn't know if I wanted to. I wasn't prepared for that. It was a room of like 30 people. And sure enough, the guy emceeing, he looks at me, he goes, and I go up there, I tell them about what we do, and it was cool, and got to know everybody there. So long story short, that's what we've been doing. We've been sticking with the cold dials every day, and let me tell you, they are cold right now. People don't really love when you call them at work, but hell, brother, that's the best way to get them. It's the best way to get somebody. Is calling their work number. So we've been doing a lot of that. A little less training lately. Less than I'd like. But it's for the sake of growing this thing. And we obviously here on In the Jar episode 28. Got some NFL training camp started up. So we'll talk about a little bit of what's going on there. I think all the teams have reported at this point. In fact, I can confidently say that all the teams have reported, and you know, it's heartwarming to see that football is right around the corner. Football is right around the corner. Obviously playing NCAA every day. I'm loving the clips that I'm seeing on social media of folks and their commentary. Unfortunately, we aren't going to get to stream this week. We might be able to maybe a couple days before this comes out, but I needed a damn capture card. I wasn't familiar with this. Thank God for my editor, Luke. He knows about all of the stuff needed for streaming. He's helped a lot of our friends kind of get up and running with their setups. And I had to buy a new Xbox because the NCAA and Madden games aren't offered on the old Xbox One anymore. So I went really until a couple of days before the release date where Luke texted me and was like, hey, you got the Xbox Series S? And I was like, you know, I'm an idiot when it comes to this stuff. I was like, yeah, I think I got it. He's like, send me a picture. I sent him a picture. He's like, brother, how long have you had that? I said, probably 5-6 years. And he said, brother, you got to get a new Xbox. And I was like, are you shitting me? I got to get a new damn Xbox. He was like, yeah. And so luckily, I went on Facebook Marketplace. I found one for about 200 bones, a Series S. And I don't really know the difference between a Series S and a Series X. Those are the two next-gen Xboxes. Wasn't opposed to going to PlayStation, just depending on a deal I found. But on Amazon, the Series S was going for $360. And your boy stung one for 200 bones. So we did that. And then order... in order to stream, you need something called a capture card, and it's about, you know, yay big. And for most of y'all, it's probably like, this is common knowledge. Why is this idiot going on about this? This is new to me. So you need a little capture card, and you plug the Xbox in and then the monitor out, I believe. Order one on Amazon. I go on Best Buy's website, and these damn Elgatos is what they're called, were like $180, $200, almost as much as I paid for the damn Xbox. So I was like, no, I ain't going to do that. So I go on Amazon, and I find one that is $35. So I was like, all right, done. We sting it. It gets here. We feel like we're ready to rock. Luke comes over to the house. I'm building out a little studio room right now, outside of this room. And we plug it in. We get all the software up on the computer, and nothing's showing. And in fact, the power port wasn't even damn working until you plugged it in the HDMI out. It made no sense. And then you look at the thing. It says made in China. It was a complete scam. It was my first Amazon review. I made a damn video about it. I was hot, boys. I was hot. Because I wanted to stream NCAA. So long story short, we got a nice little lead on Facebook Marketplace. Get us an Elgato. Maybe tonight, you know, the day we shoot this, y'all won't see this for 2 days. But we could stream Friday. You know, it could be yesterday by the time y'all see this. But, I mean, hell, man, the commentary videos for NCAA, I see all these people, like, just doing crazy stuff. They got to be on freshman difficulty because they're, like, running backwards and, like, flipping the field like crazy. I can't do any of that. Play on Heisman difficulty. But, weird flex, but okay. But the spin moves are fun. The agility is fun. I've been hearing a lot about this Judkins running back kid from Ohio State and how, like, literally you can just get out with this running back and spin around everybody. But it's been cool to have NCAA 25 back, man. I know I've been talking about it hella the last couple weeks. It's the first time in 11 years we've had a game like this. 11 years. Think about that. I was freaking 15 years old the last time one of these games came out. And so, you know, it's cool to see. You know, you play all the different modes. I got an online dynasty with the boys. Ultimate team's okay. Just started a road to glory with a linebacker, trying to live the life that I couldn't. You know what I'm saying? And it's cool because you get to see the real life players. It's hard. I didn't realize how hard it was to keep up with the names of the players and the schedule in college football without the video games. But now it's like, oh, I feel like I know a decent amount of, you know, especially in the SEC, the guys on each squad, who's good, who to look out for this college football season. And then knowing the schedule, right? In the past, it's like I get a text saying, hey, you want to come down to wherever for this game? And I'm like, oh, shit, that's a good game. I didn't even know that was going on. And now I feel like with this NCAA game, you know, I got a good grasp on Kentucky's schedule. I got a good grasp on LSU's schedule, Ole Miss's schedule. I think Kentucky's slated to go and play Ole Miss at Vaught-Hemingway, and that should be a fun one. So it's cool, man. It's I'm excited for Madden to come out. And apparently there's a bunch of new features in that game. Seems like EA has finally started to hear out the criticism, and they're starting to up their game, especially with how much media rights are switching hands, how much the college football landscape is changing. And with that, I think with how much the college football landscape is changing, the NFL landscape is bound to evolve too. we talked about it last week, just with kids going through school, understanding how to conduct themselves in business at an earlier age, and then going into the NFL and applying those business practices as a real pro. So stuff's evolving right around us. It's cool. Let's get to the first deal here. 92% of money is on Aaron Rodgers to have under 3,725.5 passing yards for this season. And we do not condone gambling on this show. We will talk about it, but I am obligated to say I do not condone gambling on this show. But nonetheless, a lot of times, man, and this ain't advice. Don't take this and put in what I'm about to say and then come back and say, dupe, you screwed me. But a lot of times in my experience with any...
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Type of market. If that much of the money is on one thing to happen, you might get a good deal taking the opposite side, investing. It's called the contrarian approach. And I deem myself as a contrarian. I like to say things that ruffle feathers every now and then. I like to make some bets that a lot of people might be overlooking or neglecting. And I'm bullish on Aaron Rodgers. You know? I think he's special. I think he's got determination to turn this Jets organization around. So why not take the over? I forget who said it. Maybe it was Big Cat over at Barstool. Life's too short. Take the under. But I thought that was interesting. Probably most of the betting public thinks Aaron Rodgers is going to get hurt again because he's old. And I understand that. That very well could happen. But Aaron Rodgers got a way of taking care of himself, I think. I think that injury on the fourth play of the 2023 season was a fluke. And Achilles injuries are a hell of an injury. I've never had one. My dad had an Achilles injury playing basketball back in the day, and he talks about the rehab process. Sounds brutal. I can't remember if I played with many other guys in my career that had Achilles injuries, but nonetheless, 92% of the betting public thinks Aaron Rodgers is not going to throw for over 3,700 passing yards. So that's something to look out for. Kyle Shanahan offered Bill Belichick a job to do anything he wanted with the 49ers. I think that's a fun headline because how many folks in football do you know that have that kind of clout? Right? The game of football is bigger than it's ever been, continuing to grow, especially the pro game. And with that, it's going to get more cutthroat. Oh, you know, this guy's not doing his job. Get him out. This guy's not doing his job. Get him out. In coaching and playing all the way through the business side. And Bill Belichick is one of the few with enough clout for a head coach to say, hey, come on to our staff. Do anything you want with the organization. You'll add value. Apparently, he politely declined. I think he's probably just decompressing his last stint. Still, he's probably having a good time being able to speak more freely in the media, be himself as opposed to a leader of men, a head coach. I think it's a delicate, the more I learn about leadership as we kind of build this thing up in Phoenix, the more I realize that it's a balancing act between connecting personally with the people you're leading, but also not doing that too much, because then the people working under you might not have the biggest level of respect for you. I don't know if I'm putting that the right way, but you know, if you're a leader and you get too friendly with the boys, let's say you're a head coach and you get too friendly with the boys, well, the boys might start getting comfortable showing up a little late. They might get comfortable half-assing the rep and coming back and shooting the shit with you. But you also have to connect with your boys a little bit so that they want to play for you, so that they want to work for you. So it's a good balancing act. Quality of highly successful people is the ability to say no, even if an opportunity sounds good. So it sounds like that's what Bill Belichick did with this particular opportunity. All right, here's some of the biggest football news from the week. Wide receiver for the Cowboys, CeeDee Lamb, is holding out of training camp. He wants a new deal. He's been unable to land the type of extension that other wide receivers have, and he's not reporting to camp. So this is making waves, and a lot of people believe that CeeDee Lamb will land a market-altering deal for a wide receiver and be the wealthiest non-quarterback player in the league. There's a lot of factors there. He's trended drastically uphill the last season or two. The Cowboys are obviously one of the most, if not the most, valuable franchise in football. And here's a quote. There's a reason why the Philadelphia Eagles with Devontae Smith, Detroit with Amon Ra, Miami with Jalen Waddle, and Houston with Nico Collins moved so aggressively to get their young receivers signed. They knew what was coming, and when the Justin Jefferson extension did come, the numbers should have surprised exactly no one. He had a right to ask to be the highest paid non-quarterback in the league, and he earned that distinction by getting $1 million more per year than Nick Bosa did last summer. I don't know. Seems like that's going to happen. CD is not going to come to camp until he's the highest paid non-quarterback in the league. Is he deserving? I think so. Is he as good as are Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson just as good as CeeDee Lamb? I think so. Jamar is yet to get a big extension, but Bengals owner Mike Brown has come out and said that he will do whatever it takes to re-sign Jamar. Cincinnati is historically a small market. I'm sure a Super Bowl would help us. But in baseball, too, Cincinnati sports have historically had a hard time keeping elite talent in-house because they are small market teams and therefore don't have as much working capital as organizations like the Cowboys. So maybe a point of reckoning in Cincinnati after this season. We've already paid Joe Burrow. T. Higgins is franchise tagged. That is coming up to pay T. Higgins. And then obviously Jamar Chase, one of the most valuable playmakers in the league, coming from a biased perspective, obviously. So that's something to look out for. What else do we got in NFL news? Titans sign a former Broncos first rounder who hadn't taken an NFL snap in 6 years. Tennessee has been really aggressive this offseason, adding different pieces on defense and offense. Who's the fella in question? Shane Ray. Ray hadn't taken an NFL snap since 2018. Appeared in 11 games for the Broncos. Played played in the CFL. I wonder what was the rationale here. Shane Ray came out of Mizzou. Interesting. I don't have much more to say about that because, honestly, I can't really remember any of his film. I can't remember any of his background, but obviously the Titans saw something in him. Shane Ray, at 31 years old, hasn't played in almost 6 years in the NFL. Titans sign him. Michael Gallup retires at age 28. Michael Gallup, let's see. Raiders GM was shocked. A lot of people were shocked. He's 28. He's about my age, a little older. Signed a contract with the Raiders in the offseason. Spent six with the Cowboys seasons. And he didn't post an announcement on social media. Reposted several well wishes from friends. He said that his heart was no longer in it. Dallas selected him in the third round in the 18 NFL draft out of Colorado State. Played some good ball. I mean, this guy was a key piece in the Cowboys offense. He was never really a wide receiver one, but key piece in their rotation. And I'm sure that he was going to add a lot to the Raiders offense, but he stunningly retires. You even see this in the college game sometimes. Folks that have spent years and years toiling every day, bodies getting beat up, and the business side of it starts to fatigue you as well. The constant stress of wondering whether your spot's going to be taken. The constant, and I mean, I'm sure it gets even, I can't speak from experience, but I'm sure it gets even more intense as you progress into the pro game. There's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of expectation for you to show up and make it happen. Especially at a position like receiver where there's a lot of eyes on you. And there's a lot of quantifiable metrics. That's everywhere, but especially in a receiver, how many receiving yards are you getting every year? How many touchdowns are you scoring? But Michael Gallup retires at 28. Let's see what else. Next deal. Two-time Super Bowl champ Shaq Barrett retiring from the league. And again, as camp commences, one of the hardest, if not the hardest, most grueling time of the year for a football player. Guys are coming to decisions. They're making life decisions. And I respect anybody who can find it within themselves to say, this isn't me anymore. I got to move on. I got to turn the next page. And it's hard. Every football player has this moment. I had mine, where your identity has been wrapped up in the game for so long. And it's always a blessing to leave the game on your own terms. Shaq Barrett was able to do that. And I don't want to use the phrase identity crisis, but everybody faces that when they leave the game and they've spent so much time, they spent every day for years and years, sometimes a lifetime, toiling and working and trying to be the best player they can be. It's hard, but hell of a career from Shaq Barrett, one of the great edge players of the last decade. And wish him well in whatever he's doing. Next deal. Well, I thought this was interesting. NFL and CBS posted the five quarterbacks under the most pressure in 2024. So we'll dive into this. The fifth one on the list, and I don't really understand this. There's some I don't fully agree with. This is one of them. Will Levis
is the number five quarterback under the most pressure, according to NFL and CBS. I thought he played great last year. I thought he was slinging it around. He uses his physical tools really well. Part of this placement here might be according to the fact that the Titans have added so many pieces this offseason, and expectations for them to play good football are really high. I think Levis is going to play great this year. He seems like he's got the mental tools to strive and thrive in this game. And he's obviously got the physical tools. We all knew that the second he came out for the draft, watching some of his film from the University of Kentucky. But he's number five on the list. Again, one I don't really – I understand, but I don't know if I agree with. Aaron Rodgers is at number four. And we addressed this earlier, but it's all about Aaron Rodgers' capacity to stay healthy. We know if he's healthy, he's going to do what he's supposed to do and then some. It's just a matter of if he stays healthy, doesn't get hurt again, and whether the Jets' front five can protect well enough to minimize the amount of hits.
We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
The Aaron Rodgers takes. I don't know if quarterbacks get enough praise for being as physically durable as a lot of these guys are. You watch the quarterback documentary on Netflix. Everybody's watched it at this point. It's a year old, but you watch it and you saw the punishment that Kirk Cousins took throughout the course of the season last year, and he freaking stayed in it, man, for the most part. I remember there was a game later in the season, maybe December of last season, where the Bengals played the Vikings. And I think Nick Mullins was at quarterback for the Vikings at that juncture. So I can't say that Kirk Cousins played every game last season, but golly, you see on film how many hits he takes. And they're not just like bang, it's like boom. He gets freaking clapped. So with Aaron Rodgers, it's going to be a question of can he stay healthy. I think that's where the pressure's coming from. And then again, Jets are an organization that have added a lot of pieces and have high expectations. New York football fans were excited going into last season, didn't turn out the way they wanted. And it's a team game. I don't care who the player is. You can't always pin the success of an organization on one player, but with a quarterback, it's a hell of a lot easier to do that. And it's also a hell of a lot easier for a player like Aaron Rodgers to go down and the morale of the locker room to go down with him. And I think that's what happened in New York last year. Nonetheless, according to Jordan Dehaney of NFL on CBS, Aaron Rodgers is the fourth quarterback under the most pressure coming into this season. Number three, this is one I wholeheartedly agree with. I would maybe argue that he should be higher on this list is Deshaun Watson. I would argue Deshaun Watson is the highest paid non-contributor in the whole league. And when I say non-contributor, obviously the guy's had health issues. We've seen the level of Deshaun Watson's play when he was in Houston. I remember in 2019, my Indianapolis Colts at the time had to play him twice. And I remember we beat Houston in Indianapolis at Lucas Oil Stadium, and what a huge win it was, because they were a great team in 2019. I believe they made the playoffs. Deshaun stayed healthy. His head was in it, right? He wasn't going to any damn massage parlors. Maybe he was at the time, but I would think that he's smart enough to stay out of those damn massage parlors at this point, keep his head in the game. And we've seen the level of play he's been able to achieve. It's just a matter of, is age a factor? What are we doing to take care of ourselves in the off season, and most importantly, during the season? And how healthy can we keep Nick Chubb so that we can keep the defense mentally involved in the running game, so that they give Deshaun the capacity to get out and make plays in a passing game the way we saw him do back in Houston? So I think he should be higher on this list, because if Deshaun Watson doesn't get it done this season, if he doesn't keep the Browns in contention this season, we might be, based on what he's getting paid, approaching bust territory. Next one. Tua is the number, according to CBS, Tua is the number two quarterback under the most pressure. And again, you're seeing a common trend with these quarterbacks in this list so far. They're all quarterbacks with teams that should be contenders, but it's uncertain whether they will be. Miami has notoriously struggled to get it done in the postseason. It's been 24 years since they've gotten a postseason win. I think that's one of the longest running totals in the league for the amount of years that's passed since they won a playoff game. They obviously had a rough go at it, playing that first round in Kansas City when it was in the negatives, and you're spending your whole year living in sunny Miami, Florida. That's going to be a tough game to get done, especially against one of the premier, dare I say, dynasties in the league, in the Kansas City Chiefs. So that was a rough go at it. And, you know, Tua is one of those guys. I don't know what the deal is with some of the light-skinned quarterbacks in the league kind of being a little weird, right? He's changed his hairstyle 100 times. He is very polite with the media, and his play has been spotty. I think he's a great player. I think they've got a great roster to go in and compete for that AFC East title. We've been saying that a couple of years now, and that's probably part of why he's on this list as one of the quarterbacks under the most pressure, because dare I say, Miami isn't up there in contention in the AFC East, and dare I say the AFC. Will Miami start looking elsewhere for the quarterback position? Could they really underachieve and tank at the end of the season and try and go get a guy in the draft? I don't know what the upcoming quarterback class looks like other than the guys I've played with on NCAA 25. Carson Beck at Georgia could be a good pro prospect. There's a few, I'm sure there's a few other quarterbacks. I mean, Shedeur Sanders. What can you say about Shedeur Sanders? He's built the brand. Played all right football last year. There was an accusation against Shedeur Sanders that the guy would willingly take sacks in order to salvage his completion percentage. I can't remember who I heard that from. I can't confirm whether that's true or not, but I do remember that being something I heard. And Colorado, the University of Colorado's, I'm digressing, but the University of Colorado's ability, the program, the football program's ability to face adversity, in my mind, is a bit doubtful. You saw that week three or week four game in the college season last year where they went into Oregon, they're talking that shit, and they got their ass whipped. And then I think the very next week, if not a week or two after that, they play Colorado State, 23.5-point favorites. I remember that because I took the cheese, I took the rat poison, and I took that spread bet. The Colorado Buffaloes minus 23.5 against Colorado State. And not only did they not cover that, they got their ass handed to them. So who knows if Tua doesn't have a good season, if Deshaun Watson doesn't have a good season, who knows what these organizations will do in regards to the quarterback position. But nonetheless, Tua Tagovailoa is number two, according to CBS, QB in the league under the most pressure. And clips like this make me think he should maybe be higher. Look at this.
Even Tua's here at the Zach Bryan concert.
Is this concert a boom or a doom?
No!
Look at Tua's piece, dude. Look at his fucking his hair, bro. I'm telling you, Tua Tagovailoa has got a new hairstyle every damn week. And then you see him with I don't even know what these Big Justice. I don't know, these guys, the Costco guys, dude. The way they look on camera when they are making a video, they're like, we're going to try Costco's new double chocolate chunk cookie. It's like, dude, these motherfuckers, they get views like crazy. Them motherfuckers had to sell their soul to the devil, man. Straight up. I don't know. Big Justice, the Rizzler, dude. I do like the Rizzler. He's just like a little fat kid. And he goes like this all the time, dude. It's just like a little like 9-year-old kid. But it's like an Italian family in Florida. And I guess they were at a damn Zach Bryan concert. That's more points deducted, my guy. More points deducted. I am America's number one Zach Bryan hater. I hope to be. You know what I'm saying? It's like, hey, if you're going to be a country singer, make country music. Isn't that a crazy idea? Live the life. I don't know what Zach Bryan does day to day. I shouldn't confidently say that, but I just get the energy that you're selling out. You're selling out. Get damn Red Sexy up on the that girl rapper up on the stage at a country concert. I mean, I get it. You're trying to reach new people, but just make your art. You know, I don't know, man. I'm not an artist. I'm not in the music industry. I probably shouldn't be speaking on stuff like this. But to see Tua Tagovailoa at a Zach Bryan concert, and then to see him collabing with this family, who I've seen a lot of really fun memes on Twitter, kind of getting at the same stuff I'm getting at, selling your soul to the devil. Eyes are a little too wide to look completely human. And who knows, man, maybe the U.S. government implanted this family to distract everybody from what's really going on. I'm getting in my tin head type shit right now. But nonetheless, Tua, number two quarterback under pressure. That video for me just put him at number one. Who's number one? Russell Wilson. The two light-skinned quarterbacks. Hopefully I'm not omitting anyone that would take offense. Not like they'd be watching this program probably. But I digress. Russell Wilson's number one. That's due to the fact that he's in the same quarterback room with someone who I think is a bona fide dog in Justin Fields. Bona fide dog. Bears fans were sad to see him go. Every Bears fan I talked to said, I hope we don't let Justin Fields go. He's the truth. And I don't know, man. We'll see. Russell Wilson's a Super Bowl champ. We'll see about his mental fortitude as he starts his career with the Pittsburgh Steelers, especially with a certified dog in Justin Fields in that same quarterback room wanting to take his spot. And I think you'll be seeing Pittsburgh Steelers fans wanting Russell Wilson's head on a stake if they're not doing what they're supposed to do after week 3 or 4. I'd be remiss to say that the Steelers won't have packages primarily for Justin Fields and rotate that quarterback position however they see fit. We could see Justin Fields running kicks back. I remember watching a Madden promo months ago, a really early Madden promo where Justin Fields was the kick returner for the Steelers. You could have a lot of different creative offensive schemes around Justin Fields and throw him in there when the other side may not be expecting it, may not have game planned for it. Week one, you're a defensive coordinator. I don't know who the Steelers play week one, but the defensive coordinator for that opponent is going to have to seriously consider a game plan for the idea of Justin Fields coming in. I remember it was my freshman year at Samford University, and it was the second or third week of the season. It was early. It was September. And I got the privilege of traveling with the team to go play the University of Louisville early in the season. That's how it works with these FCS schools. Like my alma mater, we play one big school a year. They pay you a lot of money to come in and kind of get your ass kicked. And we played Louisville. And I remember being in the hotel for those position meetings leading up to the game. And when we were playing Louisville, Louisville had two quarterbacks at the time. One of them was a pocket passer who is from my hometown that had a good career at the University of Louisville. And then the other was a receiver turned quarterback that was more of a wildcat running quarterback type guy. And so we game planned for those two guys, right? They said in these situations, they're going to bring 14 in as a pocket passer. In these situations, they're going to bring 7 in and kind of, you know, hit the ground a little harder. And we game plan hard for that. And then we get to the game, and neither of those quarterbacks ran out there. It was a guy named Lamar Jackson, who was number 8, that none of us knew who he was at the time. He was my age. We were freshmen. No one had seen him. We didn't game plan for him. And you guys know where this is going. Lamar ripped us. He ripped us. And he probably would have ripped us anyway, even if we had game planned for him. But we hadn't, because it was early in the year. They had this secret weapon that nobody had really seen on film yet. And lo and behold, it doesn't happen often, but they had a damn freshman, future Heisman winner, future NFL MVP ready at their disposal. And so that's a really severe form of what I'm trying to convey here. But, you know, week one in Pittsburgh, you got two capable guys in the quarterback room. And so it's going to be really tough for whoever's playing Pittsburgh week one, the defensive coordinator, I mean, to game plan for the possibility of a lot of things happening, a lot of packages on offense coming out there. So what's the next deal? Old Jim Harbaugh is a character, and it's great to have him back in the NFL. He said this at the start of Chargers training camp.
Feels, I mean, feels like New Year's Day, you know? Feels like being born. Feels like coming out of the womb, you know? It's like you're in there, and it's comfortable, and it's safe, and now you're out, you're born, the lights are on, the... You know, it's bright, got chaos, people looking at you, people talking at you. It just feels good to have it happen.
Jim Harbaugh is so weird, man. But he's a likable weird, you know what I'm saying? Like I could see some of the black folks in the locker room kind of listening to this guy talk and be like, what the hell is this man talking about? All the folks, not just, man. It's funny when you put a weird white guy around some black football players, because they're kind of like, hell no, what the hell is this man talking about? But the guy's expertise is second to none in the football world. He's proved himself. He's grinded. He's been in all the biggest stages. And so a guy like Jim Harbaugh, you can just kind of be weird, and everybody's kind of got to be like, yeah, okay, I get it. And he probably has a really unique, gifted way of communicating things like that. Like, I, you know, maybe I'm weird. I totally understood what he meant by that. Coming out of the womb, you're in there, you're safe. It was like, I understand. Because camp's hard, man. Camp sucks. I can say that from experience. Camp is ass. And a lot of the time, even back when I was in college, you know, in camp, it was really physically grueling. I feel like industry professionals, medical people, all the science and analytics that have gotten integrated into the game, even since I was playing, you know, it sounds like, and Aaron Rodgers confirmed this talking about camp the other day on someone's podcast. I think it was pardon my take. I think that was a podcast Aaron Rodgers went on. And he was just talking about how it's really more mentally grueling these days. You're sitting in meetings all day because they have you for the whole college. I can't imagine what pro game is like because it's your job and literally you have nowhere else to be. But it's just meetings on meetings on meetings on meetings on meetings. And you're sitting there and you're trying to stay mentally engaged. You're tired because you're probably short on sleep because you got to be at the facility at 4 or 5 a.m. every day, especially if you're injured or getting treatment, rehabbing something. It's a mental grind, and it's really tough. And but it's necessary to bring the team together. It's necessary to figure out who's a dog, who can experience a long grind, tough adversity. And I think Jim Harbaugh put it beautifully, but it was weird, man. It was really, really weird. Next deal. Found this on Twitter. Bryson DeChambeau, one of the best golfers in the world, really turned his image around. He used to wear that stupid hat. People didn't like him, especially the beef Brooks Koepka. I feel like everybody kind of took Brooks' side when they were beefing. And now DeChambeau has really turned his brand around. I'm probably the 800,000th white guy to comment on this, but he did a round with Trump, and the video is fire. I watched it last night. And you see it on here, man. Look at how Trump parked his damn golf cart. I've seen videos of him years ago driving on the green, driving the cart on the green, and everybody's like, it's his course. It's his course. There were some golf folks on social media that were genuinely mad about this. And they were like, it doesn't matter if he owns the course. You got to have etiquette and all this stuff. I think it's ham. I fuck with it heavy because he's just, he can. And it's like, what are you gonna do about it? A lot of people have been saying that I drive on the tee box. A lot of folks, the haters and losers. I don't know. I'm working on it. I'm working on it. A lot of people, you know, as you got to take the sharp inhaling teeth, you know, in the hands. A lot of people say that south of the border, people aren't allowed to drive on tee boxes. I say, why not drive on a tee box? A lot of people can't play golf like me. Okay. Biden can't play golf. Can't even run for office. But yeah, I thought about talking about some political stuff today. Just not in regards to this show, it's just not where my heart is at. But a lot of people are asking for it. A lot of people don't want to see us win. And I'm here to tell you that the fake news and haters and losers and leftist media doesn't want In the Jar podcast to talk about politics. But, you know, we might keep it out of it. We might talk about it a little bit. Do a little wilding, you know. Pull up next to the tee box. Talk some game. Hit some golf balls. I ain't played golf for about a week, and I miss it. All these damn networking events. All these, You know, we got meetings with people. We're growing this thing. We're doing what we do. And I'm talking about a lot of nonsense. I just realized I'm rambling because this is in the jar. We're having damn fun on the show. But let's see if we got anything else. Maybe we'll wrap the week up with some good juice. Three ideas. In many cases, what you hope to learn by reading books or listening to podcasts can only be learned by attempting what you fear. Some knowledge is only revealed through action. Universe has got a weird way. The world's got a weird way of rewarding you for doing stuff that you know is good for you, but isn't necessarily easy or comfortable. And as I come into my adulthood, I'm learning that more and more. It's like, if I get the strong urge, first networking event I did, it was about a week ago. I show up, I walk into this damn bank where the networking event was held, and I see the event. I thought it was going to be like a standing, like shoot the shit social thing. I walk into this bank already a minute or two late. They got the door shut. They're all sitting in a boardroom at a round table. And I'm sitting here like, shit. I'm going to get clowned if I walk in here. And I had to take a deuce. So I went and took my deuce. Thought about just dipping. But as I was taking my deuce, I thought to myself, you don't want to do this. And that's exactly why you should. And so I did it. And it turned out great. But on the other side of that fear, on the other side of that uncertainty, is probably exactly what you're looking for. You know what I'm saying? Second idea. Creativity is the focused combination of unlikely things. Your mind locks onto a certain element and then searches widely for something unexpected that fits with it. What can scuba diving teach you about agriculture? What can trees teach you about public speaking? There's always some connective tissue between disciplines. If you wish to be more creative, look for the connections between two previously unconnected things. And I'll tell you what helps me a lot come up with good ideas for the show or for business is getting out in the pine trees up north of Phoenix. I'm talking pine, AZ. I'm talking Payson, AZ. Flagstaff is cool. Sedona. A bit oversaturated for my liking, but you get the point. You get out in nature, you feel the quiet, and it's like God starts to flow these damn ideas into you. Ideas you thought, how the hell did I think of that? I think that's what that quote is hitting on here. All right, third idea. We're doing pretty good on time. Probably gets you guys out of here after this third idea. The bad workouts are the most important ones. It's easy to train when you feel good, but it's critical to show up when you don't feel like it, even if you do less than you hope. Going to the gym for 15 minutes might not improve your performance, but it reaffirms your identity. It's not always about what happens during the workout. It's about becoming the type of person who doesn't miss workouts. I think about that a lot, especially as I hopefully progress in my life. What's important to me? Who do I want to be? What values, what votes toward my identity do I want to cast every day? And I think it's grittiness for me. Being able to gnash your teeth and show up and get shit done. I think everybody probably says that. But I feel like the proof is in the action. And I feel like you get a different kind of confidence. An unspoken confidence. When you know that you're one of the few that show up and do what you need to do. Regardless of who's watching, regardless of what other people say. And I think the secret sauce in that is figuring out what you want. Because then you can reverse engineer, what do I need to do each day to be who I want to be? And then there's a conundrum in that, because in order to be fully present and have access to supernatural thoughts and ideas, got to be acutely present. The only way you can be acutely present is by being happy where you are and being happy with what you are and who you are in that very moment. That's some deep shit, boys. You know what I mean? All right, let's get you guys out of here. This is In the Jar, episode 28. Leave a comment. Give me some ideas of stuff to talk about as we turn a corner into this NFL and college football season. Hit that subscribe button. Really helps us out. I hate being one of those guys that constantly says that, but it's part of this game. Really helps the show when you click subscribe, and it really helps that you watch to this point. That's it, folks. In the Jar with your boy Duke, episode 28. We'll see you next week.
When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.